A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on further toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes? What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, "Please, let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
From afar, you give against the anger of my foes.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him." And he says in reply from within, "Do not bother me, for the door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything." I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand a son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Verbum Domini.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. It's a model for Christian prayer. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. And the prayer is simply coming before the Lord in poverty with our hands completely empty, as if we have almost nothing to give, almost nothing in the bank. Prayer is coming before the Lord and being beggars before the Trinity, begging God, today, teach me how to pray. Because today I don't know how to pray. Every day coming before God as a new day, teach me how to pray today. Not like yesterday, not like last week, not like last year, but teach me how to pray today. And begging the Holy Spirit to be the one who ignites that fire. Because we can't truly pray as we ought unless the Spirit of God is the one praying in us. To cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit who is the one who gives us the ability to cry, Abba, to cry, Father. Teach us how to pray, Lord, again today. Today is the 5th annual World Grandparents Day. So very happy Grandparents Day for all those who are grandparents. One of the legacies that, in my opinion, of Pope Francis' pontificate is his emphasis on the role of the elderly and in the role of grandparents. That grandparents and the elderly are an essential staple in society and in family life, especially in the life of the family. It's grandparents who give us a stable, secure commitment, who teach us how to pray, who even teach us how to get along. I think many of us have memories, hopefully, of our grandparents, going over to our grandparents' house and seeing the dynamics of family life and what it's like. Sometimes the chaos everything that is good, everything that is bad, even sometimes. And just being welcome into the home by our grandparents. Those days are important in our life. The stable commitment, the stable fidelity of grandparents teaching us how to persevere, teaching us how to pray. And in Pope Leo's letter for this year of World Grandparents Day, he says that old age can be a time of blessedness in which hope, tested in the fire of long life, becomes a source of joy. If the weakness of the elderly needs the strength of the young, it is equally true that the inexperience of the young needs the witness in the elderly in order to build a future full of wisdom and hope. In other words, we need one another. We need one another. The elderly, our grandparents, need their grandchildren. I think there's nothing more that makes a grandmother happy than when grandparents come over. My mom now is living with 3 grandchildren and loving life. Something that brings joy, brings hope, brings perseverance. And 2, young people need their grandparents too, as a stable force of commitment. The Pope says that the elderly are guardians of memory and prayer. They hand down to us the most important lesson, how to speak to God, because they've learned how to pray through the years. They've learned how to pray well, and not just in the amount of prayers, but actually praying with fervor. My grandmother used to pray the rosary every night for her grandchildren, all 27 of us grandchildren. I'm number 3 in 27. And she would pray for us each by name every single night. And I am positive that her persistent prayers, praying by name, is no doubt why I'm standing here today. No doubt. And why I even answered the call to come back to God in my 20s so early. Thanks be to God. I had a grandmother, grandparents who persisted in their prayers. And not just in their prayers, but my grandfather would always simply say to me, "Are you going to Mass? Are you praying?" Of course, I had to lie to him, unfortunately, at that time. But he cared enough. He cared enough to simply say, and to be curious about my life. Where are you at with God? Where are you at in your relationship with God? Are you going to Mass? Are you receiving the sacraments? How to speak to God. And also they teach us how to speak to one another, because they've made mistakes throughout their life. The elderly have lived a long life, and they have much lessons to teach young people. And those of us in middle age now, approaching middle age. And growing up, my mother used to work at a nursing home, and she was a director of nurses. And I had the privilege of going in often to visit her. My dad would take us in from a very young age, and I always had a comfort going into nursing homes. I was never really uncomfortable. Hospitals, nursing homes, it's just like home to me. And I would often sit with my great-grandmother at the time. We called her Nan. Her name was Lillian Butcher. And she lived until she was 95. She would read the Bible constantly. She wasn't a Catholic. She was of that side. She was Lutheran. And she was full of wisdom, full of prayer and just good advice. And just something about being in her presence, I always wanted to come back. Because I knew, first of all, I knew that I was welcomed. That I didn't have to do anything to earn love, really. I think that is something that grandparents can teach us. A lot of times we think we need to earn people's love. Even with God, we try and earn God's attention. We try and earn God's love. God is love. We don't just simply approach God because we have to earn his love, to earn his attention. God's gaze is sleepless, if you will. He doesn't sleep. We sleep. Our bodies get tired. God's attention is always fixed on each one of his children. You might say his invitation is always open. The door is always open, just as a grandparent's door is always open. Full of welcome, full of love. First thing I would walk in the door, my grandmother would always say, "What do you want to eat?" She knew what I wanted to eat. She really didn't need to ask. She knew exactly what I wanted, how I wanted it cooked, everything. Even more so with God. He knows what we need before we even ask him. Even before we open our mouth, the Lord knows our thoughts and what's going to come out of our mouth through and through. Even before a word is on our tongue, the scripture said, the Lord knows it through and through. So why does he want us to ask him? Why? Because he wants us to put into words the voice of our heart. Even the agony of what's going on in the inside, he wants us to come before him as beggars before the throne of the Trinity in this complete reliance, with hope, with trust, as a child, as a young child, trust in his parents and godparents and grandparents. Even more so do we come before God in prayer. Total trust, total submission, total obedience even. The readings today give this theme of persistence and repentance, and two themes that run all the way throughout the readings. Being persistent and also repentant. We really can't be persistent in prayer unless there is repentance. Does that make sense? When we come before the Lord in prayer, in other words, St. Teresa of Avila would say that we need to repent of our sins first, even before we start opening up our mouth. It's the first thing we do at Mass. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned, my thoughts, my words, and what I've done and what I've failed to do. We turn to the Lord in repentance. We beg forgiveness of our sins. We ask the Lord to take away any obstacles in our life, in our hearts. And God knows our hearts are full of obstacles. God, please take away all those obstacles in my life so that I can truly pray as I meant to pray. And we see this in the reading from the book of Genesis. Father Abraham was persistent and repentant even before the Lord on behalf of all the people of what was going on before God. 50 people, he says, 50 people are faithful, 50 innocent people. And then he goes down, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. He's persistent with God. Again, persistence needs to be wedded to repentance, too, at the same time. Repentance of our sins and total trust in God. Prayer is a lifting of the heart and the mind to God. Prayer is a dialogue, not simply a one-way street, but as Venerable Fulton J. Sheen would say, prayer is a dialogue, a boulevard. Many times we think prayer is coming before God and just spouting off what's inside. But prayer is, first of all, a listening. How do we learn how to speak first? How do any one of us as children, as young people, learn how to communicate in language? What's the first thing we do? We don't simply spout off everything. Maybe we do sometimes. But we listen. We listen to other people. We listen to how people are speaking. And that's how we learn even how to speak. That's how we learn how to articulate words. You know, if we're saying something wrong in grammar or in vocabulary, oftentimes our parents, our grandparents, our siblings are telling us, no, you didn't say that word right. Say it like this. Articulate it like this. We have to listen in order for us to be able to learn how to speak. And the same thing in prayer. Prayer involves a listening of the heart. If you want to use the analogy, almost a picture in your heart, that prayer is learning how to listen with the heart. Picture a big heart. Picture your heart with big ears on your heart, not just ears up here, right? We need these ears, but prayer too is with ears of the heart, listening with the capacity to change the heart. And prayer is entering into the prayer of Jesus. Not so much our own personal way of praying, but how does Jesus pray throughout the scriptures? How does Jesus pray? Look and read the scriptures. Whenever Jesus is about ready to do something very important, he's praying first. He's communicating with his Father first. So whenever we have something to do that's crucial, spend time in communion with God to pray. Oftentimes we pray when we need something really bad, when we're sick, when we're fearful, when times are tight, when finances are crushed. That's what forces us to get down on our knees to pray. But do we really pray when things are going well? Do we pray with that type of fervor? And we'll look how Jesus prays in the scriptures. And he was praying in this instance in the scripture, and one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray. There must have been something in Jesus' prayer that sparked his disciple. Lord, teach me how to pray like that, like you. I want to learn how to pray like you. So when we pray, not just praying as a soul, a solitary person, but when you pray, ask the Holy Spirit, help me to pray like Jesus. Help me to enter into prayer like the God-man, the way Jesus communicated with his Father, the way he said, Abba, Father. Oftentimes we come to prayer and we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is a model for prayer. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But sometimes we can come and we could be in the mode and say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." We all fall into that, don't we? "Listen up. I have something important to tell you. Your servant is speaking." The Lord wants us to come to him. The Lord wants us to ask, to seek, to knock. Even those words, ask, seek, knock, ask itself. He wants us to come. But he is the primary beggar. In the incarnation, the Lord is the one who begs for our attention. He begs so much for our attention that he becomes like one of us in all things but sin. He begs for our attention. He begs for our love. He thirsts for our love. And from the cross, he says, "I thirst. I thirst for souls. I thirst for your love." That's what real prayer is, entering into communion with Christ. We ask for the grace this day to pray well. And when we pray the Our Father at Mass today, Pater Noster, to really ask the Lord, "Lord, teach me how to pray like you." Not just as myself and what's going on in my own heart, in my own mind, but "Lord, teach me how to pray with your heart, with your mind, to be totally in communion with your Father."